And we want to go to verse 16 of the third chapter this morning and look at this. And it says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, before we read any further, before we start in look at these words, just read this verse 18 with me. And let's continue on in chapter 4, and I want to show you the continuation. He said, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh, for that shall burn, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So if you see that, as we read that, chapter 3 is a continuation into chapter 4. It don't start a different subject. So if you go back and look at it from verse number 16, and we started that, it's broke up, and this is talking about the remnant that's left over. And he's talking about it in the day of Malachi. Malachi's talking about it, and you know, as showing them, hey, this is the way it is now. But then he's turning this into a prophecy. And I've told you from day one that Malachi is a prophetic book. And so what he's doing now is he's setting this up. And he's saying, hey, here's what's going to happen. So the remainder of the book of Malachi that we're studying now will be prophecy. And it'll be what's coming after. And so he's dealing with it like it's in the present as he starts it. And then he begins to bring it in as the future. So I want us to notice three or four things in looking at this. And we're going to see it because we're going to deal with in chapter 4, the Son of Righteousness. And just to get this in your mind, the last book of Malachi ends with the Son of Righteousness. The last book of the Bible, amen, we look in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, and we see that he's recognized as, as the everlasting star and so forth, and he's the faithful Son of God, and you're going to see how it turns across and sees that. You're going to find it. He's the tree of life and so forth, and he ends the New Testament in a different way than he ends the Old Testament, but yet talking about the same person. We find that Malachi's ending with Christ. Revelation's ending with Christ. So the Old Testament's ended with Christ and the New Testament's ended with Christ. Does that make sense to you? That's how he's got it. And we're going to be dealing with that in the next little bit. Now, going back to verse 16, I want to pull a thought out of this. And we've talked about verse 16, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. "Then they that feared the Lord," and we talked about those who feared the Lord, "spake often one to another, as the saints of God do." They begin to speak. And that's fellowship. If you fear God, you're going to have fellowship. And we could talk about that a long time, but we're not going to this morning. Most of us know that we have fellowship one with another. Once we're saved, that brings fellowship into play. It said, "And the Lord hearkened and heard it." The Lord keeps a record of it, because he goes on to say, "And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Now, that's what they do. The remnant, the saved, the born again, the faithful ones of Christ, those who fear the Lord, they have fellowship one with another, and they talk about His name, and they talk to each other, and they lift up the name of Christ, and that's what they do. And so we see that happens. But in verse 16, he said, "And the Lord hearkened." In other words, the Lord heard them. Now, the Lord hears His people. Amen. I'm glad He does. The Lord hears us when we cry, when we pray, when we seek the face of God. I'm glad He is a God who cares. And now verse 17 adds to that, "And they shall be mine." God says that He claims them as His own. Aren't you glad that we're claimed? Now, He's talking about the remnant. He's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about the Jews. But in the New Testament, we are the saints of God, the Gentiles who are saved by God's grace. He knows us. We're called, you know, we're His own. He knows His own. Amen. The sheep know the Father or the shepherd, but the shepherd knows His own. And thank God we're known of Him. And then it said, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, He's going to give something else to it. He not only claims them as His own, He claims them as something special. He said, in that day when I make up my jewels. Jewels are something that you have, ladies and gentlemen, that are special. If you've got any jewels, that's something that's special. It's a special, personal possession. That's what it is. Jewels. And, some of your jewels you have may be precious to you, but they wouldn't be precious to nobody else. Amen. Some of it's imitation jewels, but it's still jewels. You like it. Amen. And, so jewels they're precious. They're special. And that's what God's saying. We're going to deal with that just a little bit. And then He said, and I will spare them. So He gives us a promise here that, He's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of them. And He said He's going to spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So He's going to say that they're special. They're distinguished from all the others. I'm going to take care of them. And so God is once again making a promise to Israel, to the Jew. Hey, I'm going to take care of you. Now, in the whole book of Malachi, we've done studied it. We won't go too much in detail about it because we've been there. And we find that in chapter 1 and 2, they were perverting the Word of God. They were going in the opposite direction. They were living their lives that were unclean. But then He comes to the end of chapter 3. In chapter 3, at the beginning of it, is the same way. But when you get to the end of it, the Lord said, hey, look, there are some in this day that are separate. There are some as a remnant. Now, we can associate that today just a little bit. And before we get into the prophetic part of it, let's associate it. Here we are. We're living in a society that's wicked. The society as a whole in America, and even the world, is wicked, is it not? I mean, everywhere you go, wickedness is on every hand. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're in the days like it was of Noah. Not completely. Amen. You believe it was worse than the days of Noah? Yep, I do. I sure do. You know why? I believe when we get as wicked as they were then, God's going to do the same thing He done then, bring judgment. Amen. Somebody thinks they can't be as bad as they are now. I mean, they couldn't have been as bad as we are. Listen, I believe they were worse. I believe as it is in the days of Noah, so will it be today. I believe all the things you go back and see what they were doing, it was even worse than what we're having today. But we may be about that far from where they were. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I know wickedness is everywhere. Nobody wants God anymore much. We know that. We're in a bad society. But in all the badness and the sorriness and the worldliness and the ungodliness and the wickedness that's in the world today, guess what? There are still some, thank God, that are faithful to the cause of Christ, who are still standing for the Word of God, still exalting the Lord Jesus, and still magnifying Christ, and still lifting, amen, the Lamb of God. There's a remnant. And it's that little remnant, and I've said it for years, that it's the remnant that's holding this thing together. You pull the little remnant out, and this world would go topsy-turvy, sure enough, and upside down. The reason that it's so wicked now is because what the little remnant that we are, we're not standing as strong as the remnants were in days past. We've let so much go, it's easy for us to run. It's easy for us to let down the gap. But we're still holding to a certain extent. We're still holding to the thing. Amen. We still got the ship in the stream. We're being shifted from side to side, but we're still there. Amen. You understand that. So that's what we're looking at here. In this day, there was still some, when all the priests were doing, I mean, not all, but when the majority of the priests were doing what they were doing, the majority of the people were doing what they were doing, still there was a little remnant. And God's saying that to them in that day. But then God's going to take that remnant, and He's going to do something with that remnant in the days ahead. So we find that this promise, or this prophetic scripture, starts from verse 16 through the remainder of the book of Malachi. And we're going to look at it in a prophetic standpoint from here on. He said in verse 17, "And they shall be mine." And they shall be mine. Didn't say they are mine. He said they shall be mine. You see, he's turning this thing, and it's going to be the Jews. And it's the remnant that's going to stand. There's going to be a remnant of Jews that will come out. Now remember, we're the Gentiles. We're in the day of grace. The day of grace will get over. I'll assure you and promise you that the day of grace will be through. One day. At the last salvation of the soul of that that's nearest hell in the church age, when it gets saved, hey, make up the bride's made up, he's coming. And then he's going to return back to the Jew, to the fact to work with a Jew for a while. We've gone through this over and over and over, and when he's dealing with the Jew on the earth, he gets it established in, of course, the tribulation hour and all the things that's going on. But then we're going to find that the Lord is going to begin to work with that people again. The Jew's on the sidetrack. I listen to this all the time in the news and hear them talking about and putting down the Jew. And it seemed like they just, all nations are seeming just to put them down. Even America now. You never heard people talk about the Jew as much. Made jokes about them and little things like that. But I didn't see them years ago profaning the Jewish people, in a sense, as they do today. They were leaning toward the Jew in earlier days in our time. But listen, today, nations are rising against the Jew. And they're just a little bunch of people, as far as the world's concerned, that needs to be annihilated, put off the face of the earth. And that's how beginning the world is to take shape. And they think that they're going to do that. And I honestly believe there's nations today that believe that one day they're going to annihilate the Jew and get rid of them. Countries like Iran and all those countries over there and Iraq and some of those lands, those Muslim countries. I want you to know, they think they're going to get rid of the Jew. But I got news for you. They'll be here when the last shot's fired. Because God gave us the promise of the Word of God. He chose them people. And God said this, one verse right here's enough, all you need, but you got a lot more. "And they shall be mine." Now what's God's, brother, He takes care of. He will protect them. So He's saying, I've got a faithful group. I'm going to forgive them, and they're going to be mine. A nation will be born in a day. I don't understand all the preliminaries of what's going on, just like you. A lot of preachers come along and say, this is going to happen, and I've been hearing them say that for years and watched it, and it didn't happen. Understand? So I'm not going to stick my neck out on the line and tell you this is going to happen. Except what I know from the Word of God. I know from the Word of God that God will bring that nation Israel back into play. And that nation Israel is going to be great. Israel won't even recognize it herself at the time. She don't realize how great she is today. Amen. Now they talk about Jehovah, Yahweh. They talk about the Lord God. They talk about Him in a sense. But they don't really know Him. Like you and I know Him. But one of these days they will know Him. And so you can see that. Now He said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts." And then He goes on, prophecy. In that day. Not in this day here with Malachi, but in that day. That's future. You see that? In that day when I make up my jewels. I've heard preachers preach on when He makes up His jewels. And God's going to do that. When He makes up His people, when it's completed, when it's all said and done. And I'm glad that in those jewels we're considered and concerned and involved in that as well. Amen. I'll tell you, when the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints get together, what a time it's going to be. And the jewels. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Now, we've dealt quite a bit in the book of Exodus. Going to be dealing with some more. But as we go to Exodus chapter 19, I want us to look at verse 5. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 5. And I give you time to turn there. And it said, "Now therefore," now God puts a condition. When you find the "if" put in, you always find that's a conditional, God's fixed to make a conditional promise. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant." He's got two things. God expecting two things out of His people, and He's talking about the Jew here. If you will obey my voice, and the second one is to keep my covenant. In other words, if you'll listen to me, you'll obey and be obedient to me. And when I ask you to do something, do it. Secondly, if you'll keep my covenant, His covenant's the Word of God, His promises, His precepts. God said, if you'll obey me and keep my word, those are two things He said. And that works for any nation, that works for any people, that works for any dispensation. That works back in the law day, it works in the day of grace. If we will what? Obey His voice. God wants us to have the obedience. Obedience, the Bible said, is better than sacrifice. So God wants us to obey Him. So He said, if you'll obey and you'll keep my covenant, covenants of promises, the word, God's put that between us, that's the word of God. If we'll keep His word and we'll obey His voice, God said this, then ye shall be what? A peculiar treasure. You see that? Now, we're talking about jewels here in Malachi. Well, that's what jewels are. They're treasure. God said you'll be a peculiar, not only just a run-of-the-mill treasure, but you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me. Now, what's that other word? Or above. You see that? Above. Above who? All people, for all the earth is mine. God said, if you will obey my voice, you'll keep my word, I'll make you a peculiar treasure above all, you see, above all people. In other words, I'll put you on the... And that's what God's going to do. He's going to keep that. You said they hadn't kept it. Hey, God's given them the opportunity. He will do the... And they will keep it in the end. God is bringing them to these. Give me another group of people in the Word of God that has kept everything. Amen. Give me a bunch of Gentiles that's done it. We haven't done it in this day. We've run in the wrong direction, have we not? Amen. Christianity is in worse shape today than it was when it got started. And Brother Ed struggled at the start. But you know what? People were getting saved right and left. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. What about that? Amen. If that hadn't started, we ought to be getting them saved by the 10,000s now. Getting better. But instead, we've got worse. You see what I'm saying? So we find that we've messed up too. And so when you go to blaming the Jew, don't blame him too hard. Do you think about blaming yourself along with it? Because we have messed up. But God said, what I'm going to do? And He said, I'm going to make you a peculiar treasure. So now He said, when I come to this time, I'll make up my jewels. Now this is in the mind of God. God is going to deal with a Jew. He's going to do it. I can't change that. You can't change that. Nothing will change the mind of God. God has already laid that down. This is His precepts. This is His promise. This is His covenant. You said, I resent it that God has chosen the Jew. Resent it all you want to, but that will not change God's platform. All it'll do is mess your life up. Oh, yeah, all it's going to do is take away your blessings. I've come to the conclusion, and listen, let them have it. Amen. And I'm not even standing in it. I thank God for what God's given me. I've got the grace of God. I've been grafted in. Amen. I'm a spiritual Jew. Not a physical one, but I'm a spiritual Jew. Amen. Spiritually, I'm a Jew in the sight of God, the way God does it. Now, He said, in that day when I make up my jewels, when is it? After the rapture of the church? When the tribulation starts, what God's doing, He's going to go out. What's He going to do? He's going to seal the seal of God in the forehead of those 144,000 Jews that are going to go upon the earth preaching the gospel of the King. Now, what's they going to do? They're going to go out trying to make up the jewels. They're going to win a multitude of people. They're going to bring them in. Remember, they're Jews today. They don't have a full presentation as a whole like we do today. Well, for one, their mind's been boggled. I mean, they don't understand it. We know, and we can talk about Christ, and we can preach to them all we want to about Christ, but they will not pay no attention to Christ. Because they think He was a great historian, a great leader, but He was not the Savior. So they do not accept that. They do not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. You understand that. And one day they will. When Christ comes, they won't understand that. Amen. They won't understand that because they hadn't seen it. They rejected Christ, away with Him, away with Him. But when God seals that 144,000 Jews, excuse me, with the seal of God in their forehead, and they go through preaching the gospel of the kingdom, they're going to start preaching something them Jews have been looking for. They've been looking for a kingdom. They're still looking for a kingdom. And they're looking for a king. And when they go to preaching that in that day, in that tribulation hour, these Jews are going to get on board. Some of them will. A multitude, I believe, will. But a lot of them won't. They're just like in a day of grace. People will not all accept it. But they're going to be preached to. They're going to receive it. And they're going to be making up the jewels. God's going to put that little family together. And guess what? The whole world's going to get their eyes on the Jews. Their whole eyes are on the Jews today, but it's to annihilate them. And it'll still be to annihilate them in the tribulation hour. That's what the devil's done. The devil has the promise. You've got to remember this. The devil has the promise of God just as much as we do. And he knows more about it than we do. Actually, the bad thing today is that the devil understands the Scriptures better than most church people. He knows more Bible than the average Baptist. He does. He knows. He's got first-hand touch. He's seen God work more than anybody that's ever been on the face of the earth. Hear me. The devil knows. He's watched it. He's got a lot of things hidden from you and me. But he's been there. He knows. And so he knows that God is right. He knows he's in the last days. That's why he's put a coldness and a deadness on the church. That's why he's working against the day of grace. That's why he's working against the fundamentals and the soundness and the doctrines of the Scriptures. That's why he's trying to get us to be cold and dead and silent. He wants to make us silent witnesses. He does. He wants to silence the church. And he's doing I hate to say it, and this is not the way to say it. He's doing a good job, which is, that ain't what I want to say, but you understand what I'm saying. He's doing a good job of silencing the church. Now that's bad. That's really bad. Because the church ought to be triumphant, and it is, but it ought to be out in the forefront, and the church should be setting the rules and the standards for the world. But he's got the church silenced. You understand that, don't you? So he's done that because he knows what's happening. But he don't like what I'm saying here. Amen. But he knows that one of these days, the Lord, and he knows it, that the Lord is going to get these Jews, and they're going to go through this world, and they're going to get this gospel of the kingdom preached, and these people are going to believe, they're going to receive it, they're going to accept it, and they're going to come in. Now, he said, in that day when I make up my jewels, see, when that's the day when he's making up his jewels, and that's what he's going to do, he's going to start in the tribulation hour, and on through till he comes, and his feet set down on the Mount of Olives as making up his jewels. And he's coming back to them with his saints. And that's when he's going to set up his rule and his reign. And he's making up his jewels. Now, he said, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, what he's saying is this is special. Now, if anybody's going to spare anybody, it's going to be those of his own kindred or of his own blood. God shows that's a weakness of flesh. Sometimes whether our children are right or wrong, we'll stand with them because they're our children, and that's proper and normal. And even when they're wrong, you hate to see them be punished, and you hate to punish them, don't you? But it has to be done. But it said, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And there will be a division. God will do the separating. God will separate it. And he tells us that. Now, I want us to look at this. Here's what he does. He does it because of obedient children. That's what you think about, and that's what they are. But here's some things that we ought to be doing today. And I believe we ought to be paying attention to this right now in the day of grace. I know this is not in this prophecy, but here's something we ought to do in this day of grace since we're losing ground. We are losing ground. Spiritually speaking, the church is losing ground. It shouldn't be. Amen. It should be triumphant. That we should have, and people don't like it, but the church is militant. It ought not to be sitting cowed down like it is today. It ought to be pressing forward. You agree with that? Amen. We are quiet. We're too quiet. We're silenced. The devil's got to hamper. He's dampened us down. He's cut off a supply to us to the sense that we are quiet. But the church should be militant. They ought to be progressive. I'm not talking about rioting on the streets now. I'm talking about the church should be out there. Every born-again believer should be standing for the truth and letting the world know what the truth is. But the devil has silenced us. Now, in looking at this, let me give you three or four things. First of all, right now in the church, we ought first to examine ourselves. Most of the time we're examining others. We feel like we're the doctor and everybody else around us is the patient. But for once, we ought to stop and think we're the patient and let God examine us. Amen. And we ought to prove ourselves. And how should we prove ourselves? Not by our friends, not by our family, not by our friendships or fellowships with people, but we ought to prove ourselves by the Word of God. Do we come up to what God says? That's what He even says to that. And He says, study to show thyself what? Approve who? Unto who? Unto God. So God wants us to prove ourselves. And so first of all, we ought to examine ourselves. Every time we come to church and what we hear this morning, we ought to examine ourselves in the day of grace. Are we what God wants us to be? Are we where God wants us to be? Are we doing what God wants us to do? We ought to examine ourselves. And take the limelight off of everybody else and put it on ourselves for one time. Lord, can I take this word? Or is this word, does it abide in my heart? Am I doing the precepts? What did God promise the Israelites? If you what? Hear my voice. And what? Obey His word. Keep His word. You've got to keep it. Obey His voice and obey His word. Now, God means that for you and me just as well. And God will make us special. And so He says here in the Word of God to do that. So I believe we need to examine ourselves to see where we are. Secondly, we ought to watch. We ought to be very careful. And He teaches us in the New Testament to watch. We ought to watch. What do we watch for, preacher? We watch against slackness in our heart, coldness, and deadness, compromise, forgetting the things of God. Hey, it's easy to see where somebody else is slacking. It's easy to see where somebody else is failing. It's easy to see where somebody else is getting cold. We'll sometimes come to church and we'll say, so-and-so used to shout a lot. Now they don't shout. We used to see them praising God. Now they don't praise God anymore. It's easy to see that on somebody else, but it's hard for us to notice it in ourselves. And I catch myself sometimes looking and I thought, what's wrong with you? You're as dead as you can be. What's happened to you? You was just shouting, you ain't doing it no more. Amen. I have to get on to myself about it. See, He tells us to watch. We need to be watchful. Thirdly, we need to study the Scriptures. We need to keep our head buried in the blessed book. And if you don't, you know what's going to... You know what you look at and what you read? Those are the two areas that is going to dominate you. If you read wrong things, that'll dominate you. You watch the wrong things, it's going to dominate you. What you see and what you hear and what you read, that will control your attitude. It'll control everything. And so therefore, that's the reason He said, study to show thyself approved. We need to study the Word of God. And it's not easy. The flesh does not love the Bible. The world don't love the Bible. The devil certainly don't love the Bible. But you have to make yourself, as a child of God, the inner man is the only one in you that will hunger after the things of God. So you've got to feed that inner man. You got to keep doing, as I said before, like the mother, keep putting it back in the mouth as it rolls out. You put it back. And you got to keep reading the Word of God. You don't understand it today. You may not understand it tomorrow, what you're reading. You may not understand it next week either. But somewhere down the road, you study it long enough, it'll start laying together. And when you go out to build a house, you look at something over there, and all you've got is something that you can visualize. Anybody's built a house or had one built or any other thing that you're going to do, you're going to create something. Of course, in these modern days, they make you do so much. I heard somebody say the other day, if you build a house now, it costs you more to get, it costs you more than the house is about worth just to get the preliminaries set before you ever scrape any dirt off the ground. We're having all these different things, you know, and got to have a layout and all that. But I remember when I used to go build houses and didn't even have a blueprint. Amen. But they had it in their mind. Amen. And so what happens, you look at that and you say, here's what I see, here's what I want, and you set to do that. Well, you go out there and scrape off the ground, you start building the building. It don't look what you wanted yet. And it's not where you want it yet, and for a long time. But then after a while, it all starts coming together. Amen. And when it comes together, you say, that's it, that's what I want. And so the same way is with your Christian life. It's going to be a little, you said, I ain't got it yet. The problem I had when I was a young Christian, and even I started preaching, is when God called me to preach, I couldn't understand why in the world I didn't know the Bible. I know a little bit about it. I know a couple of three verses I could quote. How about that? And I bargained with God. He dealt with me in high school to preach. And I run. I didn't do it. And nobody knew this but me. This went on for years in my life, and nobody knew anything about it. Nobody but me and God. And I run from it. And I said, when he finally got down to it, and I was going to have to decide, and I was going to have to do something, and it kept getting worse. God don't let up on you. God's callings are without repentance. And so he don't let up. And so I made a little bargain with God. I said, Lord, if you'll teach me the Word of God, and when I know the Word of God, I'll preach. So I started off, and I never will forget this, faithfully, honestly, carefully, seriously. I took the Bible and started reading Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 and went on through the book of Matthew. And I'd read it, some things I'd never seen before, but I didn't know how to make an application. And when I got to the end of chapter 28, and I looked at that and I thought, now, I don't know a whole lot more than I did when I started. And when I read that book of Matthew, I believed that God was going to show me everything there was to know about the book of Matthew. Now, that's how I read that book. And I didn't know much more than I did when I started. And I give up on the rest of it. And I said, Lord, I don't know. And it took a while for the Lord to deal with me to understand that I had to be surrendered. And He'd do what He needed to do through me. Then the Word of God comes. And now, after all these years of studying, little things that I didn't understand 40 years ago, I'm saying, I remember reading that way back there, and I couldn't get an answer, and I thought, what is this? And for years I've wondered about it. Now I look at it and I say, Lord, it's so simple. How come I didn't see it then? You know why? Because it was built on something. It was the finished product. Amen. If you build a house and lay the foundation and ask the lady, said, "How do you want this for the crown mold? What about the window frame? How do you want your windows framed? How do you want them cased out?" And they're not interested in windows. And so if you bought it all today, what you do? You ain't got no window to put it on. And that's the way the Word of God is. You ain't got nothing to build it on. So you got to wait till you get the foundation built up, and then when you put the finish on it, it's there. And that's the way God does it. And I thank God that it is. Now, we need to do that. And the fourth thing we need to do, four things. Examine ourselves. Be watchful against anything that's going to slip in to take us down. Study the Word of God so we can be kept built up in the most holy faith. And number four, we need to pray constantly that the presence and power of God will be with us. We can be blessed of God. Bless others. Now that's what we need to do, and I'm going to close this chapter with that. Where we'll probably pick up a little bit out of verse 18. I missed some things I want you to look at. And we'll pick up into chapter 4 next week. Now I've left that with the church, but we're fixing to talk about the Jew and what's going to happen. And we'll be dealing with the Son of Righteousness and those things and what God's going to do in this fourth chapter. Rather quickly we'll get through that, and I pray that the Lord will bless us with that. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, speak to us today. Touch this service, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we might today feel Your tug and touch upon our heart, and the hands of God might be real to us in a real way. And Lord, we might see Thy divine hand work in the midst of the people. You know who's coming. You know who needs to be here. You know what they need when they get here. Speak today through the singing, testimonies, and preaching. Lord, may somebody be birthed in the family of God or drawn close to you. We give you the praise and the glory. We welcome your presence. Meet with us today. In Jesus' name we pray.